Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local, MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, Charlottesville. All right, time for another show. So, as everyone knows, Ryan's left. So
we wish you, Greggy.
Yeah, we wish him the best.
Moved to North Carolina, right?
I still want a cheeky Fiverr series from him.
Yeah, good luck. He's moved to Elizabeth City, and we wish him all the best, and hopefully we'll get him on the phone sometime. So all is good there. Yeah. Introducing ourselves, obviously, for anybody who hasn't listened to the show. I'm Andy.
Got Alex here.
I'm Mark.
And you're listening to Blokes on the Bench, where we cover all things Premier League soccer. So, did anyone catch the Manchester City games on Saturday morning, apart from myself?
Yeah, I mean, what a game, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Unless you're a Liverpool fan.
This is the thing. When I watched Liverpool play before the break against Arsenal, and we'll... You can see you're looking at me like,
yeah,
that.
It wasn't good.
No.
Or was it?
I couldn't
you're
tell.
You're a Liverpool fan. It's great.
Liverpool looked amazing going into the internet.
Right. You would have thought that might have kind of...
Certainly would have expected something to continue.
Well, I mean, that game was at Anfield. So, I mean, that's a tough place to play. And, you know, they got handed at Etihad.
Right. But it was only, I mean, the game, so it was 5-0, Manchester City beat Liverpool.
It was, yeah, I think that's worrying for the league.
Certainly, but it was 1-0 when the red card happened, which I think is clearly the big talking point of the game. It wasn't like, I mean, any team going up against any of the top six clubs that then go down a man, you're going to struggle and the goals can continue to come again and again, yeah. But that red card, I mean, I think we definitely should talk about that. I mean, it was like a pass out of the back, and what, Mane went on a run, and did he even look to see if the keeper was coming?
No, but the thing I saw was that he was looking at the ball. That doesn't excuse the fact that his, like, studs are showing in his face.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking Ederson to some people about this the other night, and so I watched some hockey, you know, fairly big hockey fan, and... In hockey, you know, if you raise the stick above your waist, you're getting a penalty.
High sticking.
So I look high sticking, exactly. So I kind of look at this Mane thing as well. You know, like, I know he's probably looking at the ball, going for the ball. But at the same time, like, you can't karate kick in the air and not expect to get a red card if, you know, the Ederson gets hit in the face. Like, that's a sending off. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a reckless challenge.
I don't think he meant to do it. You know, like, I don't think there was really any, you know, trying
any
to keep you any malice. Yeah,
I don't think he was purposely trying to injure the keeper.
Yeah.
But you still have to be responsible for your actions and what you do.
Yeah. And I'm sad he's on my fantasy team, so...
Studs to face. I mean, that's about as bad as they get. And he got pretty high up there because... The goalie was jumping at that time to try and head the ball away because he was outside of the box.
Right. Now, does he get a two-game ban now?
Well, it was a straight red, so it should be three games, I think, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I always get confused between two and three. I don't understand. But the goals themselves were... I mean, Liverpool just played really poor at the back, I felt. Like, I saw
I think that's their problem the last couple years. You know, I think that's a reoccurring theme with Liverpool.
Right. And that's why I was so surprised that they sold Sacco. They sold him to Crystal Palace for $25 million or something like that.
He was kind of a problem, though.
He was a head case. He was unreliable. He had that drug charge against him, which actually ended up being completely false. It was actually a relation. He got the charge right before the Europa League final, and he couldn't play in the final, and then he couldn't play in the World Cup, I believe, that year. Maybe it was the Euro Cup, or maybe your African Cup. Anyway, he couldn't play for his country, and it was really sad. And then it turned out that he was
basically an international football prison. I mean,
well, it was a weird situation. I read this article about it, like, over the summer. It was like UEFA did one thing, and then FIFA basically said, oh, well, we'll do whatever that FIFA said. And then UEFA said, oh, well, it was because of basically, it was like both of them were pointing at each other, saying the reason that we're suspending him is because of the other organization saying that he did something incorrect. And in the end, they both realized that there was nothing actually done wrong. I forget exactly what the drug it was that he took taken, but it was actually on the legal list. So, yeah, sad stuff. But anyway, he's not there, and that's what they needed today. I mean, they played with who was it at the back? God, it was one guy had a really bad. Both of them really had bad ones. It's that new guy that's from the German league, Matip or whatever.
Yeah.
New last year at least.
I mean, the two players to me that stood out.
And Klavan, of course, was the other guy. And so they didn't play Lovren, who I think normally is one of their better center halves. I'm not sure why they didn't.
They used to have good backs. You know, they had Carragher and. What was the guy? He was maybe Scandinavian.
They used to have a good defensive core, and now it seems like they've sold them all. They have these kind of second-rate defenders, and you get games like this. I mean, this is what we've said all along with them, is that they just don't have the defense. Maybe they don't have the depth. And Liverpool, on their day, they look as good as anybody, but when their defense starts to fall apart... Yeah.
Sammy Hippie up.
Mm. Oh, Hippie up, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the two players that stood out for me were from, obviously, City, were Jesus and Sané. Oh, my goodness. Did you see the last goal of Sané?
Yeah,
goal?
Sané's
like, that
last
was incredible.
Goal was amazing.
It was a peak.
I would say that's probably the goal of the weekend, if not the season so far.
All right. Any more talking points for that game?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I think De Bruyne... You know, was really great in this game.
I was going to say the same.
You know, and for Jesus.
Yeah,
or was it Sané? Sorry, Sané.
Yeah, well, you know, De Bruyne. I feel like, you know, if Silva's not there, they need De Bruyne to have a really big role in this team this year, and he's got the pedigree for sure. But I kind of look at him as, you know, Arsenal fan, or as all like in some games. De Bruyne goes missing, but it looked like in this game that, I mean, the first ball where he split the defense for the first goal, that was a great ball. And then his Cruyff to cross, you know, for another goal.
Yeah, you know, so he had two assists in the game and really got them going. Aguero had a good game, even though he didn't. Well, he scored the first one, but then he had a pretty much he could have scored,
Jesus,
and then he gave one to Jesus exactly. Yeah. That was the third goal. I mean, overall, City looked really good. And Liverpool, yeah, I mean, they have some problems at the back for sure. And they've got to shore that up to really stay in contention for the league title.
So would you say City are one of the favorites right now?
Certainly.
Absolutely.
They're second now, only on goal differential to United. And like I said, the first week, I think it'll be a battle of Manchester to see who wins the league this year.
Yeah, and it's Pep's second year, you know, so he knows what he's doing now. He's, you know, there's no growing pains. He's got things set up the way he wants it. And
he's got his players.
He knows he's got his players.
He's spent so much money in the offseason. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, they were third in the world in defense spending over the summer. You know,
they spent more than any other team has ever
spent. No, before behind the U.S. and China. Like, I don't know if you saw this news article, like, I don't know, call it fake news, whatever. It was kind of funny. It was like, oh, well, like, Man City, like, you know, they bought two right backs and a couple other defense spendings. And it literally, like, if you look at the defense spending between China and the United States, Man City's in third. So we'll see what happens. They took your boy Kyle Walker.
What do you think of that? As a transfer?
I didn't think he was. I thought he was always very good. He's the England number one, but the money that they were giving for him, $50 million, it was world record for a defender. I was not necessarily happy to let him go, but at that rate, as long as we could turn it into something else, which we did with Davinson Sanchez, who started for Spurs this week, who looks really good. I thought it was good. I thought it was a good sell. You know, it's if as long as they're willing to buy someone that would replace him and it They did that in Davinson Sanchez, and then they got the other guy.
Well, you still have Trippier. Like he's Trippier's right back, like up and coming. So
yeah, I mean, we still have that rotation, which is something that once you get into these games in the midweek coming up with Champions League starting up this week,
we're gonna start to do a rotation of
our right and left back.
And I think Pochettino's really good at that.
Pochettino needs to put his full strength team out this year in Champions League. I know that was a criticism last year.
Well, he didn't play Dembele this week.
Is that for the Champions League?
For the Champions League this week. So and he took Kane off early. He took Eriksen off early.
That's a wise. I think that's a good choice. So especially when you're up.
He did some things to save his best men, save minutes on them, and I expect them to play their number ones in the Champions League for sure.
I watched the highlights.
They're
going to
need to in that.
The goals were pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
They were like bullets, just rocketing in.
We looked as good as we have all year. Right. So.
That was a concern I had, though, because the first games were, I mean, you played Chelsea and lost to Chelsea, and, you know,
that was like a giveaway. Right. Like, so we dominated that game, but it was a great goal by Alonso on a free kick, and then later Alonso got a second goal, but really Lloris should have saved it. And so, sure, we lost 2-1.
You mean the best keeper in the world?
He's up there. It's not when he's letting little cheap goals like that. That's for sure.
Just bringing back the past, things that have been said.
All right, time to move on. So we got Watford versus Southampton. I was actually quite happy with this result. You know, like I've always been a favorite. These are two teams that I have soft spots for. I like both of them. And I was happy to see that Watford kind of took the upper hand because
I would say St. Mary's is pretty tough place to play.
Right. They're very loyal fans.
And by the way, people, Andy is like chairman of the Troy Deeney fan club, if you didn't know.
Write to me. All right. Before I forget, the telephone number if you want to reach us on is 434-284-9470 if you want to give us a ring. If you want to hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. All things Premier League related.
But I mean, with that game though, I thought that Southampton would play better than what they did. I thought it was pretty disappointing the way they played at home. Southampton in the past have played I thought they played really well up to about the midway point of last season. They got to the League Cup, whatever it's called now, the EFL or whatever, yeah. And they almost beat United, if you remember that, with a couple of Gabbiadini goals. I was expecting more out of them today, or yesterday, I guess it was. They had chances late, but really just Watford looked better. And, I mean, Deeney's not even starting for them anymore, so maybe you need to jump ship.
I was actually thinking about this earlier. So I feel like these two teams are always... I wouldn't say always, but very mid-table, right?
Yes.
The thing I think that's most important about these two teams, Watford and Southampton, these are the teams you got to get your points against if you're a top six club.
Stoke and places like that.
This is the point I want to make. These are the kind of teams that are going to make or break your title challenge.
Right, they're going to make it hard for the top four, top five to get anything past them.
And yeah.
We'll get to the United game, but... I do think that Stoke... I had said to Ryan when we spoke about it that Stoke was going to be a hard team to play, especially
at home
Stoke.
For them. Yeah.
Right.
But Watford's fourth in the league now. They have 2 wins, 2 draws, haven't lost. There's not many teams that haven't lost yet, and so, hey, they're fourth place right now with eight points right behind Chelsea, United, and City. So, obviously, I don't expect this to continue, but a strong start of the season for them.
And, good.
I'm just glad I picked up Decore for fantasy.
Hey,
he had a great strike in that game too.
He did.
What do you think of? Just a quick question. What do you think of the fantasy league the way they've done it this year for the Premier League?
I don't see that many changes. I mean, I feel like it's still pretty the way it's been.
Because I downloaded it again, like I always do at this time of year, and then it's taking me to the website. I can't do anything through the app.
Well, and luckily the app is free this year.
Right, but then I have to sign in and create a league, which I didn't have to do last year. It's just a whole different setup. It's like
not on me.
Draft pick.
I'm doing everything in there. I will say that it's weird that you couldn't select your original team through the app. you can manage your team through the app once it's been selected, which I think is weird.
Hmm.
You would think you'd be able to do either everything through the app or, you know, not as much. But obviously, for whatever reason, you couldn't select your original team. You had to do that on a computer or at least in a browser.
Yeah.
All right. Did anyone see the Chelsea versus Leicester game? Because that Vardy penalty was an absolute bullet. Like, I think you can always tell how confident a striker is by the way they take a penalty. Like, if they're, like, on form, they don't even think about it. It's just
it was right down the center, and it may have even hit Courtois along the
way. Right, but it was straight through him almost. And he didn't stop or take a pause or take a deep breath. He just went, whoop, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good PK. I mean, it went in. That's all that really matters, I guess. I don't think it was, you know, quote-unquote world-class PK or anything like that.
Right.
But for any English player to score a PK at any moment, that's always a good thing, because they seem to struggle in big games, big events, internationally, especially.
Did you see what Vardy said about Arsenal recently?
Go ahead.
Vardy said that he didn't sign for Arsenal because he foresaw that he was a psychic of what was going on. So...
But with Chelsea this year, Morata, was he a good signing?
I mean, for sure.
He had
the goal off a cross from Azpilicueta. It looked almost identical to the goal that Morata had from Azpilicueta as well in the Everton game, actually. It looked like pretty much a replay. I wasn't sure when I first saw it if it was indeed a replay of the previous one. So they've got a good connection there. Azpilicueta, the captain of the team, is really starting to take Chelsea on his shoulders. Conte had the second goal, which I thought was a little surprising. He's not really the goal scorer on the team. A speculative shot from distance. And Schmeichel, I thought, would have saved
speculative.
It. I thought Schmeichel should have saved that.
I did put this in my notes. Conte, he really looks like you're like stand-up professional as a football player. Didn't celebrate, really, you know, the team surrounded him, but, you know, he won the title with Leicester 2 seasons ago, and, you know, arguably in that season was their best player. So, you know, good on him for, you know, respecting his former club, and I don't know, there's something about that guy, like, if you look at, like, his map of, like, the ground he covers in a match, it's ridiculous. Like, he's a great player.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, he's the only player to have won the last two League Cups, Chelsea last year and Leicester the year before that.
Yeah.
But if you look at his goals scored over the last few seasons, he had 2 last year and then 1 the year before that. So the fact he's scored now in, what, the 4th week, I mean, maybe he'll increase his goal tally for the year. You know, 2 is a pretty low bar. And only one of those was in the EPL. I mean, the other was in against United in, I think it was either the FA Cup or the, it was the FA Cup in the 6th round.
So what did you make the Spurs game against Everton? I mean...
Well, I thought that Spurs looked... as dominant as they have been this year, they finally look like the team of last year. I think it all started, of course, with Kane getting on the score sheet with his 100th goal, which...
the super cross.
Was definitely a cross, an intended cross. It all started off a corner, which went a little
really
far.
Doesn't matter as long as the ball ends up in the back of the net, right? I mean...
Yeah, I mean, hey...
I thought there were a lot of what I would call garbage goals this weekend, but hey, a goal's a goal.
And this one, yeah, I mean, this one the team needed for sure. And then once that happened, it was kind of like, first of all,
Eriksen had missed a couple chances and some saves, and
there were a lot of chances. I wrote down all the chances that I thought that Spurs could have had. So there was the final score was 3-0 Spurs on the road in Goodison, and there were 6 other chances that I thought were legitimate goal scoring chances that Spurs kind of fluff their lines on, and so it could have been 9-0 easy. And I mean, obviously that takes a little bit of things, but I mean, that's crazy that it could have been that many goals, and they missed them. But I mean, like, really, a lot of them were gifts from Everton. Everton's back line did not look good at all, and if you're an Everton fan, you cannot be happy with the performance. The crowd was completely taken out of it, and Spurs totally looked like the dominant team. Rooney had some pretty bad tackles in that game. It looked like Rooney was trying to really get himself sent off.
Yeah.
But in the end, he only got one yellow, but Spurs looked very good.
Awesome. All right, the time is 20 past 7. We'll be right back, guys. All right, guys, we're back. So let's move on to the next game. That was Brighton versus West Brom.
Brighton gets their first goal in the Premiership. They get their first win of the Premiership. If you're what is their mascot name? Like the it's like the seagull. I don't even know what it is. Anyway, if you're a Brighton supporter, you've got to be happy with the way the game. That guy Gross looks really good. I thought he had.
Yeah, and he scored on both sides of the half. So they got the first goal right at the end of the half, and then they got, I think it was 2 or 3 minutes into the second half, he got another one.
That's so right, yeah.
That's tough to take for a team, you know, to go down a goal right before the half, and then, like, you come out of the dressing room, you're ready to go, like, 3 minutes later, now we're down 2-0.
Yeah.
Like, that's got to be hard to come back from mentally.
Yeah, and I thought that so Gross had the first two goals, and then he also had the cross in for the assist of the third goal.
He made ESPN FC's team of the week.
There you go. I mean, he looked really good. I think that's the right way to do it. I mean, he had goals with his right foot. The shot that ended up being the goal, which was a deflection off of Johnny Evans, was a shot with his left foot. He also had another one that went blazed up wide. That was a left foot. I mean, he looks like he's two footed. Because the second one was pretty low and came from distance. I thought Foster should have saved that one, but he didn't. So it was a goal, obviously. I thought he was the man of the match. And the other guy that scored was Hemed. And then there was like a consolation goal like in late,
yeah,
late in the game
that
to make it 3-1. But really, Brighton dominated at home. And
you got to be saying, if you're a Brighton fan, you got to be happy with that result. Like, West Brom are no pushovers.
No. I mean, they're normally, you know, the last couple seasons mid-table.
Right.
You know, Lukaku used to play a couple seasons ago. And so, yeah, I mean, they're not an easy team to beat. Pulisic is still their manager, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's never going to be a guarantee.
Yeah, West Brom were in the top half of the table, I believe, at the end of last year. And ninth or tenth, yeah. And they're ninth right now, even after this. So you know, Brighton get themselves out of the relegation zone with that, going from 1 point to 4 points. And
who's sitting in the bottom three right now?
So there are three teams that haven't won a single game. Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, and West Ham. West Ham play tomorrow, Monday night.
Crystal Palace have just been looking really bad the last season.
That's an understatement to say that Crystal Palace have been looking good or bad. Dybala's on the hot seat. They literally have not scored a goal this season.
How many managers did they go through last season? Because Alan Pardew,
So there was Pardew, and then there was another guy. I forget who that was. And then Dybala. So it's been three in the last year or so, 12 months, you know.
So who do you think out of, and again, it's maybe a little too early to ask this, but who do you think out of all the teams that were being promoted is going to do the best? Is going to have the most successful season? You think Newcastle, because they've been in that situation before?
Yeah, I think you've got to kind of, you know, if we were making bets, you know, we'd probably put our money on Newcastle. I mean, Benitez is a good coach. They've got the strong culture of being in the Premier League, and, you know, they're going to make sure that they stay up this year.
I think that's the easy one to say, right? That's everyone's heard of Newcastle. They're a team that's been in the Premiership for a while.
Oh, Newcastle Browno, yeah.
Yeah. I'm interested just about Huddersfield. Huddersfield haven't lost yet. They're 2-1-0. They play tomorrow against the aforementioned Crystal Palace. I would expect that to be a victory as well. Right now, Huddersfield is 7th in points, 6th in the table. Newcastle's has 6 points, 10th in the table. Obviously, there's plenty of games to be played. I thought Newcastle looked absolutely horrible the first 2 weeks.
Right.
But the last week before the international break, I thought they played well against West Ham. And I watched the Swansea game today, and honestly, I thought Swansea, well, actually, both, it was an even match. Someone had to win it. Newcastle had a kind of, it was an interesting situation if you watched it. Swansea had a near chance just moments before they scored. This guy, Lascelles, blocked a shot by Abraham. And then moments later on a corner, he goes up and makes a header and scores it. So he saves one on one end, literally where it was going in. He'd already passed around the keeper. And then he scored in the winner on the other end. I thought Lascelles had an excellent game for Newcastle. And Swansea didn't look so hot. I mean, well, I guess we'll get to that in a minute. But I think Huddersfield, I guess to answer the original question, is the team I think will do better. But you know, we'll see.
All right. Well, I mean, financially speaking, and I'll end on this.
No, go ahead.
You know, Newcastle just compared to these two clubs, that you know they've got the money, so that can't hurt their situation.
If you are a Newcastle fan. They have the money, but I think that most fans have been disappointed by the lack of spending in transfer window.
In coming back.
So they spent a lot when they went down to the championship. And so they had a very strong team in the championship last year. They won it outright, didn't have to go through the playoffs. And then this year, coming into the premiership, you thought that they would upgrade the team. But they only had a handful of new signings, nothing that was really, I thought, that would really move the dial. And
they should
really
have brought Ben Arfa back. Like, he's trying to get out of PSG. Like, bring him back. Like, I'm sure the fans would love that.
Yeah, I mean, they you know, there's a lot of players around the world that would love to play in England, and I think that Newcastle could have done better. And there's even talk that Rafa Benitez may leave Newcastle because he's disappointed with the amount that the chairman is willing to spend. Who's not a very big fan. Like, if what's his name? It's like Mike, whatever. Anyway, he's the owner of Sports Direct, and
that's the kid sponsor, right?
Exactly, and the fans hate this guy because he doesn't spend enough. And so, anyway, there's talk that Benitez may quit and just move on to another club. We'll see. I think that'd be a little too early for him to do that, especially as the team's starting to hit their stride. They've had two wins in a row now. But just the fact that he's that disappointed with his spending is never a good situation.
Right. All right, so next game, Arsenal versus Bournemouth. I'll pass it over to Mark because he's smiling.
I absolutely loved it. You know, going into the international break and after the transfer, you know, deadline, things were very bad at the club. And I'm not saying they're that much better right now. But when
you
I
just
watched...
won. That's a win. That's good.
When I watched the game on Saturday... those are the games I like to watch Arsenal. And those are the games that the neutral fans are like, man, this team can really pass the ball. And I think that we had a great game. Kolesniak, our new kind of left wing back. I like the guy. He looks like a beast. He set up the first goal well back on the header. And I really do... really do think Lacazette is going to prove to be a great signing. That was a class goal. Absolutely, 100%.
Do you see Lacazette winning the Golden Boot for most goals scored?
I think he'll be up there.
Will he win it? Yes or no?
Probably not. It's his first season.
Yeah, I think he'll be up there with you. I think that, like you said, that...
Like, when he didn't start in the Liverpool match, I was like, typical Arsenal, typical Wenger. Like, how are you going to drop £52 million on a player and not start him in the biggest game of the season so far?
And
not even the biggest game. Like, you're playing Liverpool at Anfield. Like, how do you not start Lacazette?
I don't think there's.
And then
good,
you bring him in like the 60th minute, and it's just like, what is going on?
Well, I do think that the answer to that, Wenger would say, is Welbeck, and Welbeck has been unexpectedly playing more this year than I expected.
I'm really glad to see him play. In the words of Greggy, we love you. Little shout out. Greggy told me he was upset when Welbeck went to United. He was
Arsenal from United.
Yes. He was upset because, you know, Welbeck is from Manchester, you know, went through the academy, and he's a proper footballer. And the thing I like about Welbeck is that he will go for goal. He will give everything for the team. And some of our players, I'm sorry, like, they don't do that. Mesut Ozil, like, first and foremost, you know? And, like, I love the way we play, but sometimes when we get in the box, man, like, how many passes do you need? Like, put the ball in the net, you know?
Take a shot, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but anyway, to continue what I was saying earlier, the answer of why Lacazette wasn't in is Welbeck, and Welbeck had a great game today. He scored two goals, and then he had the assist of the Lacazette goal.
Yep.
And so I think it'll be
interesting. Which is a nice interchange of passes.
So what happens now that Sanchez is back in the squad? How do you set up the team for success? Can you get Sanchez, Welbeck, and Lacazette all on the field at once?
I think it's possible. If it's going to happen, Welbeck's going to have to move to the right. With Ozil in behind, there will definitely need to be some tweaks there.
Because I
thought Ramsey had a great game, you know, and I love Ramsey. I think Ramsey's a great player.
But let's go back to that formation you just said. If you do that, then, because Arsenal's been playing three at the back, they've been playing like a 3-4-2-1. The one being Lacazette, at least in this game. It has been Welbeck. But then the four has been kind of more holding midfielders or your wing backs. So you have Ramsey and Xhaka, who I don't see coming out of the squad.
Probably
and then
not,
you have your wing backs, Bellerin and Koscielny, who had a great game, and both of them are
world
class.
Great ball for the first
So really, you have five places that Ozil could go in, and I think Ozil's the odd man out here.
Really?
I mean, has he looked good the last 12 months?
No.
Yeah. I mean, he's still your highest highest signing at like 50 million or euros.
Oh,
or
no, no. Lacazette
broke that? Yeah. Okay. But either way.
I mean, he's probably one of our highest on our wage structure as far as like, you know, pounds per week.
Sure. But I mean, like, if you could choose, so the talk about that three-headed mate for just to make it sound good, and Ozil's not
RBBC.
One of them.
RBBC.
Would you take Ozil off and put him on the bench in these situations? Maybe play him more in the Europa League, something like that, and give him minutes there and maybe in the cup competitions?
I mean, I think it's tough to put him on the bench, but at the same time, like, It might be good for his attitude, you know, like a lot of times, and I know I'm not the only one, a lot of Arsenal fans, like, he just, like, he doesn't ever play defense, you know, like, he's great, you know, in his position going forward, but like one of the goals against Liverpool, like, could have just taken somebody down, like, couldn't even do it, you know, and it's just like
no professional fouls. Yeah.
And the guy's a great humanitarian. You know, he's got this kid that he's been, you know, signing jerseys for. Like, I think the kid's going through some kind of, you know, cancer or something like that. Kind of like the kid from Sunderland that Defoe was, you know, supporting. And he's a class individual, and on his day, he's a class player. But the problem with him is that there's this big inconsistency. And the problem with that is we paid 43 for you, like, and, you know, he has some great games, and then it's like you're not at Real Madrid anymore, you know, like, this is a different league, and, you know, you got to play defense.
It sounds like you would take Ozil out, long story short.
Well, no, I think, unfortunately, what's going to happen is Welbeck's going to get dropped to the bench.
Well, see, that's my fears. And Welbeck, of all those players, I would say, is the most mentally fragile. Is that the right way to say it? I don't know. That sounds horrible. But Welbeck is a little bit of a head case, I think. He's kind of proven that over his career.
Sanchez, head case.
But I think Sanchez actually has proven more recently. Welbeck, I hope he can stay in the squad. It's great to see him playing the way he has. And you certainly want to see him play for England in the World Cup coming up next summer. So,
yeah, I mean, I hear you. But this game was great, and I'll wrap this up. You know, like, you're giving me the Dave Chappelle wrap it up thing here, but had to drop that one. So, like, with the Arsenal team right now, you know, Sanchez, clearly wanted out. Like, there's no, like, ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, there were pictures of him in city jerseys.
How do you
told
feel
all.
About that? I mean, the fact that he wants out, you refuse to sell him. He's either
It's not
go
that
in
we
January.
Refused to sell him. It's that we couldn't land Thomas Lamar and we left it late. If we had landed Lamar or Draxler, he was gone to city.
You could have had Draxler last January.
We could have had Draxler the last 5 years. Like,
is this our
he's
Wenger,
always
though,
been on Wenger.
What's going on with this?
I think
is
it's
it
partially.
To go to
I think
a
it's
club. Or
that's
is
a good
it, or,
no. That's a good it, question. So, I think that it's partially Wenger. Okay, I am not a fan of Gazidis. You know, big up there. I'm not a fan of our owner Kroenke. Like, a lot of Arsenal fans are upset that we didn't spend the way they said we were going to spend, and it's like he's owner of the Rams, and they're building a new stadium
yeah, he
in
moved,
L.A.
He moved them from St. Louis to L.A. to get yeah. more revenue. I mean, I said this last
and
week.
And so now we're in a second times. Building stadium that's, like, completely unrelated to the game we love. Like, it's like his money is going to be tied up in building this football stadium in L.A. Like, why should that have anything to do with the Premier League? But it does. Money's money. Yeah. He only has so much of it.
Yeah, only,
you know, and it's
only,
appropriation
only a few
billion. Of funds.
He only has a
like,
few billion. Yeah.
Anyways, so to get back to it, I'll sum it up. Like, you know, we wanted Lamar. It didn't happen. We left it late. Our chief negotiator for transfers has actually said that he's stepping down in a month. So there's got to be something going on here that hasn't broke yet.
But who is it? Is it this board guy, the owner, sorry, or is it Wenger? Who's the
I
one
think
that's
it's
not
a
spending the money?
I think it's a combination
the whole
of all that.
Front office.
I think it's, yeah.
Front
you, can't, you can't be this dysfunctional with just one person not knowing what they're doing.
It's and it's always like this. Like,
oh, yeah.
I'm on this Facebook Arsenal fan page that's like Arsene Wenger made 50 signings and, or no, 5 signings in 50 hours. And it's like.
More like 5 signings in 5 years. Like, that's what it feels like.
Well,
all right, guys, the time is now 20:07. We'll be right back. All right, so enough about Arsenal. Let's
really?
Move on to Stoke
it's my first
versus
show back.
Man
I mean,
United.
You've got to expect some of it, you know?
Well, I know.
How about you channel that negativity of Arsenal towards the next club we're going to talk about here?
All right. There's not two of us to gang up on the rest of it anymore. It's just one United on in the corner, cowering. No,
Stoke United.
To be fair,
2-2.
I had said though that Stoke were the team, one of those teams that they just make it hard.
They always are.
Right, they're hard as nails. I think, and like,
there's got to be something about that stadium and that city.
Apparently, it's one of the loudest.
There's got to be something about it. You know, I've never unfortunately been over to the UK, but it just seems like this like impenetrable fortress that like. Teams like just lose drop points there like and I sent you guys a you know on the blokes group message like it was I think it was from Fox Sports like I think it was like last 5 games United's played at Stoke like no wins conceded 8 goals scored 5 you know it just and Arsenal has tons of trouble there too I mean it was I think 2 seasons ago where a bunch of Arsenal fans like confronted Wenger at a turnstile on the way back to London.
Who did?
I didn't hear about that. Explain.
Yeah, so I'd have to look it back up, but I'm pretty sure like the team took a train to Stoke.
Mm.
And like on the way back, like a bunch of it was like you know the French Revolution, like a bunch of Arsenal fans, you know, like showed up to the train station and like
with little pants.
We're about to beat up Wenger, like basically. I mean,
which is no different from most weeks, probably, right? Win or lose, they're out for his head. A good percentage of the hardcore fans. For
all right,
sure.
We've managed
become the Louis of
Arsenal. Let's talk about United. United looked amazing. They looked like the team to beat the first 3 weeks, and then
just
this
dreadful.
Performance.
I thought they were dreadful, even though we didn't lose the game. We got a point.
I thought you were lucky not to lose the game. I mean, you know, Stokes scored first, and then, like, they should have just barreled the hatchet going into halftime, and they concede a corner. Like, Pogba gets, you know, the equalizer, and
Rashford. Technically, that was like for game. Rashford, but yeah, it was Pogba's header that nicked off Rashford.
Well, yeah, no, go ahead. You're the United guy here.
I think I think we played terrible.
Yeah,
you know, and especially coming out of, like, I don't know, there has to be something to do with this international break business where, like, it just deflates teams.
You sound like Mourinho right now.
What? It's true.
Excuses,
but every team has to go through that.
Of course.
And some teams more than others.
Right.
But, you know.
But I think it affects across the board. I'm not talking about United. I'm talking about across the Premier League it affects teams.
But we had this very same conversation.
I've always said it. Even if we come
United
in positive.
United had so much momentum going in. And you were like, I wish that the international break wasn't here. Because you felt like it was going to cut things up. And it did just that.
But I do also think that Stoke have traditionally, at least in the last three or four seasons, always been the bane in our neck. They have always been the one that, or one of the teams, like Swansea was the other one, even though we beat them already. Swansea was the other team that we just struggled against. I think that that was a little bit of a glitch. And hopefully I'll be proven wrong next week.
Yeah, I mean, talking about this, you know, like, international break hangover, you know, it affects the entire league. But I will say that
it
definitely affects the top clubs more.
Because they have more
people
playing.
Because they have more playing, like, exactly. So, you know, I mean, you got these players flying all over the world, like, you know, for these World Cup qualifiers. And it's great. I'm glad it's a World Cup year. I think that's going to make this season better.
Right.
You know, because, you know, players, they're professionals, but at the end of the day, regardless of how much money they make for their clubs, they want to play for their national team. So I think we'll get a better quality. I think this is going to be a great, great Premier League season. I can't wait. You know, we're a couple rounds in, and we got a long way to go.
Any thoughts on the Stoke guy that I'd never heard of, Eric Choupo-Moting?
Yeah, mate. Also made team of the week. Team of the week for ESPN FC.
As he should have. The first goal, I just want to call out Eric Bailly on that.
Terrible performance by
Eric Bailly. Oh, my. He played on Diouf.
I mean, do you think Smalling should start above him? Because it looks like Phil Jones.
Absolutely.
Like, I think you should have an all-English like center-back pairing.
Chris Smalling, I rate higher than Eric Bailly. Because even though Eric Bailly can perform really well,
he's very athletic.
I think evenly, like, just down the middle, Chris has just got a better... It's just... I don't know. I just think he's a better player.
Yeah, I mean, he was injured, what, last year, right?
Warming up, though. He was one of the subs again tonight, on Saturday. And I saw him, you know, warm up, and I'm thinking, oh, he's coming on.
But normally you don't swap out your center backs.
Right, of course. You're going for...
But yeah, he played on Diouf, and then he just kind of jogs into the center of the, like, around the 6-yard box, and Choupo-Moting just like steals the goal. I mean, he literally made two massive mistakes on that first goal that you could argue were the reason that they didn't have the points.
I actually think you know what? If this spurs us on to do better and like cuts us out slack, you know, and Mourinho just goes in and gets the old, what is it, the blow dryer treatment, hair dryer treatment. And, you know, puts him back in form again. We didn't lose the game.
We didn't lose.
Right.
You did concede your first goal.
Right.
Like,
which,
that wasn't going to happen
after the fourth game.
Right.
Isn't too bad.
No, that's really good.
But you would think in winning your first three games without conceding a goal that, like, you would have beaten Stoke.
No, I don't think like that, though, because, like I said, you had the international break, which I did think slowed us down. You got a team that traditionally, I think, just make it hard. They park the bus. They really try to defend well, and they nicked a few points from us because of, you know, like he said, Eric Bailly looking weak at the back, you know, and that costs you, especially when you have to go to these teams where, like, you know, they're the ones that do really well when it's, like, in the middle of December and it's raining. You know, these are the teams that, like, are hard to beat.
But it was in the middle of December.
No, but that's what I mean. These are the teams that are like that. That's sort of the example. Those gritty teams, you know, like...
So you got them at, like, at the right time of the year, and you still couldn't really convert, which is, I think, disappointing. But I get it. It's the first time you guys drop points all season. But you know what? It's still a draw. You're still first in the table, mm-hmm. on goal differential. I think that if you're a United supporter, you have to be happy where they are overall. Perhaps this game was a little bit of a letdown, but at the same time, you're still top of the table and looking good going into the rest of the season.
What was it, Bill Belichick? A couple years ago, we're on to Cleveland. What was the quote like?
Well, every time they asked him any questions, they just lost. And he's like, we're on to Cleveland or whoever the next game.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like that, you know. I feel like Mourinho and Belichick would totally get along.
All right, so Burnley versus Crystal Palace. Did anyone catch this one here? Because I was at work.
So this guy,
I always catch the Crystal Palace cheerleaders. I mean, come on now.
But this guy, Chris Wood, gets another goal.
And the Eagle?
He's the guy that scored against Tottenham a couple weeks ago. It was a horrible, horrible pass back by, what was the guy's name? This guy, Lee. So he basically, in the third minute, he just like hits like a back pass to like his center back. There's no center back there. This guy, Chris Wood, kind of jumps on the ball, sees it, and one touches.
Pounces
on the ball. One touches it around the goalie on like a shot from like 30 yards out. The goalie was outside of the box because he was trying to get the ball. He couldn't use his hands. I mean, it was a gift. It was horrible. And then Crystal Palace had countless chances late and just couldn't get in the back of the net. And now head is on a spike.
And I am as well, like, on my fantasy team. They're without Zaha. Like, he's probably their best player. You know, creating chances.
He is their best player, for sure.
But, I mean, you still got to play the game, regardless of, like, who you can put in the lineup.
So when is he back?
I don't know. Hopefully soon. I'm sure we can check on that. Dr. Goma over here is going to check on...
Dr. Goma's going to Google it.
Zaha's status.
Yeah, I mean, he's not back now, and that's... It says, as of August 15th, it said 4 weeks, so he should be back in the next week, essentially, if that's true at the time of then.
And he was one of those players, you know, that probably 4 years ago was like the future of the Premier League, you know, like transfer to United.
From Crystal Palace, right?
I'm not sure. I don't think it was Crystal Palace. I think it was somewhere else. Now Alex is getting on Wiki. it's going to be tough for a team.
Yeah, he was from Crystal Palace, went to United for a season, and now he's back at Crystal Palace. Spurs were trying to get him this summer. He had a great second half of the season last year. He is their best player. He's not playing.
Benteke
had a chance late in the game as well and kind of blew it. I mean... So did,
but it's like, what happened to Benteke?
So
like,
did Townsend.
A couple years ago, like, he was, you know...
Even last year, he had double digits goals.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole team is playing poorly. I think the whole team is playing poorly, and a lot of people are looking at the coach because of that. And so, DeBoer, this is his first chance with a Premiership team. He was with Ajax for a long time and won many titles. He was part of their squad years ago.
But, I mean,
ago.
Let's not kid ourselves. Like, the Eredivisie, like, Premier League, like, you know, like...
Yeah, but if you follow Frank DeBoer, you know, he also went to Inter Milan last year, and he was there for, like, 3 weeks or something crazy like that, and then they kicked him out. So he was in and out. So he has not had a good run of late. So
then why does a club like Palace sign him to be their manager?
You know, I'll be honest. I looked at him as a potential option when we were looking for our coach, and we obviously got Pochettino, which was the right decision. But I thought that DeBoer could have been the selection, and so it wasn't, obviously. But I think that DeBoer has the potential to be a good coach. It's just that he's in the wrong place, and you know, there's not much more you can say about it. I mean, he's played in his career. He played at Ajax, Barcelona. I mean, he played for some of the bigger.
Definitely a class player, for sure.
But then, and you know, he played, had 100 plus caps for the Netherlands. I mean, this guy is legit. But then, as a coach, it's like, okay, Yeah, he didn't do so great with Inter Milan, for instance. And
Milan's a whole mess anyway, so I wouldn't totally blame him for anything that happened there.
Yeah,
In fact, both Milan clubs have been a mess for a while now.
Well, and now the Inter were bought by... Or no, AC were bought by some Chinese guys, and now they have all sorts of money. So for once, the Milan clubs are starting to turn it around. But anyway, we're not talking Premiership here. Are we?
The last game of the Premiership this weekend was Newcastle versus Swansea.
So we got into it earlier. The person that really disappointed me in this game was Renato Sanches, who was one of the better players for Portugal. He was one of their star performers. In the Euro Cup, yeah. And so he played really, really well. He was arguably their best player there.
He was at Bayern, right?
He was at Bayern. He's on loan at Swansea. And 20 minutes in, this was the stat, because I was watching the game. It was like, they said that he'd lost possession 14 times. This guy was making bad passes left and right. The ball would come to him. He'd try and do something. He'd like make a good move, like to get around one person, and then he'd have the whole pitch to do whatever he wants to do with it, and then he'd make a horrible pass. I mean, he did that countless times. I was really disappointed
with him.
Yeah,
welcome to the Premier League.
I think it was kind of a baptism by fire of the Premiership, and so I expect him to come back and play much, much better going forward. I was actually surprised that Swansea got him, because I thought he could have been a real deal.
They had to do something with that absurd Sigurdsson money.
Again, he's on loan, so it's not like they bought him.
Well, either way, that was one of the things I wanted to bring up, like just these wages, or not wages, but these fees for transfers now. Like,
how much was Walker again?
50 million euro.
Okay, Alex, you'll know about this. So how much did your Spuds acquire Sigurdsson from Swansea for?
It was not much. It was like 15,
and
12
how
million.
How much did Everton pay for him this year? It was like in the forties.
I think it was 45 million.
Like
the okay. So first of all, it's kind of like when you look at any deal, you have to factor in inflation. Like so, right. if you look at like you know how much money did someone make in the 1900s?
Well, you're the banker guy.
You factor in inflation, but here it's not inflation of say the dollar or the pound. It's about the inflation of the TV contracts. And so the TV contracts have just gotten so out of proportion in the last few years that if you look at it, there's a premium that you pay for a club for a player if you're in England. Some of the players that were transferred in Europe, if they had been transferred to England, they would have gone for way more. I mean, one guy that really jumps out is Bonucci. Bonucci for Juventus that went to AC Milan. He went for like 30 million euros, Sigurdsson went for 50 million pounds or 45 million pounds. I mean, like these guys, the numbers that are being thrown out there are just crazy.
Yeah, that Milan deal probably involved like some other things that we probably can't talk about on air, but
some under the table dealings. Do you think there may have been some mob affiliation stuff going on?
All right, so there's one. That's the end of the games. Let's look at the table. Like you were saying, United sitting top.
One game manana.
Yeah, Man City in second. Well, they're not in second, right? They're
in second. They're in second with goal differential.
All right, Chelsea in third. Who else? Watford in fourth. Fifth, we got Tottenham. Sixth, Huddersfield. Seven, is that Burnley? Yeah. Eighth, Liverpool. Ninth, West Brom, and then 10th, we have Newcastle. So we have one game tomorrow, which is West Ham versus Huddersfield. What are you thinking about that?
West Ham should win this game.
You do remember that West Ham have looked absolutely horrible the last 3 weeks.
They should still win the game.
I think that Huddersfield have looked the better squad of late. I think West Ham... I mean, I haven't looked at like the gambling figures or anything like that, but you would think that they've got to get points
out
of this game.
Sure, Craigie has.
You would think that West Ham should get points out of this game. It'd be really disappointing if they didn't. I would say because they haven't got anything yet. They're still in the drop zone right now. It is in London at the Olympic Stadium.
I don't know if that
which
even benefits
does,
West Ham.
Yeah,
though.
Which hasn't done much for them. Like
it hasn't, but. It's better than being on the road.
That's true. All right, so
I think your boy should have bought the Olympic Stadium.
Yeah, you're talking about Spurs, and yeah, I mean, Spurs actually tried to, but they, it was kind of it was a really weird deal. I mean, basically, if you have any idea what's going on, this was the Olympic Stadium for the 2006, was it?
No, 2012.
12 Olympics? I don't know when the Olympics are. Who watches them anyway, other than the sprinting or swimming?
Don't you have family in England? You should know this.
Like. I don't know when the Olympics were. Anyway. So the stadium was built for the Olympics, and there was a big question about what was going to happen with it next, and Tottenham were trying to get it. And anyway, in the end, Tottenham didn't get it, but really, West Ham have a huge competitive advantage here. They have a new stadium, but they didn't pay for it because the London public paid for it.
All right, so Friday, next game to kick off, Bournemouth versus Brighton. And this is a Bournemouth that have just come out of a loss from Arsenal.
Probably Brighton. I mean,
I say a draw.
Crystal Palace versus Southampton is the first game for Saturday. Crystal Palace are going down. I can't see.
Yeah,
that.
I don't.
But
see
Southampton look poor as well.
Right. So this is going to be a toss up between two.
But it's like
two horrible teams.
Two pants teams. Huddersfield versus Leicester. I have to say Leicester.
Leicester. That is in Huddersfield, but I think Leicester have looked pretty good.
Liverpool versus Burnley. I think Liverpool.
Liverpool.
Newcastle versus Stoke. This could be an interesting game. I think Stoke might nick a 1-0 goal against
them. Yeah, I could see that.
I think it'll be a draw.
Watford versus West Brom.
Watford.
Spurs versus Swansea.
Troy Deeney for the winner.
Tottenham.
All right, and then Sunday we have Chelsea versus Arsenal.
That'll be a match.
Arsenal.
All right, guys.
Do you really believe that?
I've got the faith.
Chelsea big.
Even with all these fake banknotes being printed.
All right, guys. That's it for this week. We will be back next Sunday. Take care. From Andy.
Alex.
Mark.
Till next time, guys. Take care.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.